in a certain narration, that has been transmitted, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he went into her room, into her hujra, into her home, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, "Aisha, today whatever you want to ask for, ask from me." Then Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha became very happy and said, "Mashallah, today the river statement of Rasulullah was very positive." And again Rasulullah said that, "O Aisha, whatever you want to ask, ask from me." And then Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, requested that, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you permit me, because this is, mashallah, a great for me, a very big opportunity, and you are saying to me that I should ask something from you. Maybe this is difficult for me to think about this, that what should I ask for? Because it's a great statement and a great opportunity you've given to me. So the situation is such that, can I request, if it is possible and if you permit, that can I ask my father and do mashwara and consult with my father?" Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, you can do mashwara, consult with your father." Then Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha, she went to Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, her father, and she went and mentioned the whole event and presented it to Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, that today such an incident has occurred, my dear father, my honorable father, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that, "O Aisha, whatever you want to ask for, ask. So this is a great opportunity, and I couldn't decide what to ask for. I couldn't think what to ask for. So I sought permission from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, can I go and ask my father, my honorable father? So that is why I'm here." Then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu said, "Aisha, you've come to consult with me?" She said, "Yes, my father, I've come to consult with you. What shall I ask for? What shall I request?" Then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu said, "O Aisha, go and ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beautiful, unique request." Now, only he probably could have said this. And this was the maqam of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu amongst the Sahaba. And on this maqam, he spoke. He said, "O Aisha, say to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet, that when you went on Mi'raj. And on Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you met Allah and you discussed and spoke. And from that, please tell me one thing, one thing." What a beautiful statement he said then. What a great statement he mentioned then. So what did he ask for? He asked for ilm. Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he asked for ilm. He asked for the nearness of Allah, to know something that they didn't know at that time. And she said, "Yes, my father, I will request this from Rasulullah." Then she went back home and she went to her husband, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Have you consulted with your father?" And she said, "Yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I went to my father and he was happy, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, alhamdulillah, and he gave me mashwara, advice on what to ask." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What did your father give you as advice?" And she said that, "My father advised that when you went on Mi'raj," this is the question now I've got for you, "you went on Mi'raj, which was the famous event we all know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you met him and spoke to him, from within that discussion, please tell me one of the points." Oh, and I forgot to say this, brothers, that when Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu was with her father, and Abu Bakr Siddiq said, "Ask your husband, ask the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question, but I have given you this mashura, this advice, my daughter, that you also promise to me something." He asked his daughter to promise. She said, "Yes, my dear father, I promise." And he said, "Whatever he tells you, you have to come and tell me. You have to come and disclose to me. You cannot hide it from me." And she said, "This is my promise, father." So what's the promise there? The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa, and Abu Bakr Siddiq also asked for a promise. that you come and deliver that knowledge to me. So she went and back and said, O noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I went to my father and my father gave the advice to ask from one of the words, the sentences that you discussed with Allah on Mi'raj. And this was his advice, his consultation with me. So that you go and ask this question and ask about the Mi'raj, because the event of Mi'raj was so great and mashallah deep. So mashallah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was one of his great miracles. MashaAllah, his whole life was a miracle. Everything of him was a miracle. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every verse of the Quran is a miracle. In every verse, you can see the shan and the status and the glory of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's no verse that does not make apparent the status and the glory of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the Quran from Alif Lam Mim to Surah An-Nas. There's nothing that doesn't contain the mention and the tafsir of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So mashallah, the Mi'raj was a great event, a miraculous event, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sat on the Buraq and he was taken to Jannah, to paradise. And I will just summarize. From Haram, from Bayt al-Muqaddas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled, went on the journey on Buraq. The Quran is mentioned, this the words that is mentioned is Sahar. He wandered. Yes? The Quran says, Allah Ta'ala says that I took him on that journey. Subhanallah. So what is the difference between wandering and traveling, the journey? Listen to the point here. When a person, for example, you say in English, walk. When a person goes for a walk. Yeah? So when a person goes for a walk, Sahar karta in Urdu. When he goes for a walk with ease, he's in comfort, no hastiness, experiencing, observing, looking. And when you're in a safar, in a journey, it's a quick movements. You know, you're going from here to here, the plane, you take off, then you get off, then you quickly go to the next place. But when you go for a walk, you're taking your time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I took my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a walk, on sahar, which was easy, no hastiness, and easily, comfortably, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw everything with ease and comfort and satisfaction. And he saw both of the worlds in that time. Allahu Akbar. So Buraq, which was the transportation from Jannah that Allah Ta'ala sent, it was very fast, that when it took one step, it would go as far as your eyes could see it. From Haram Sharif, it took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Baytul Muqaddas. And all of the Nabis, all of the Anbiya were present there, gathered. Alhamdulillah. And then the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he led all of the Anbiya in Salah. And another point that's written here in the commentary, the ulama ikram, the scholars, they said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is worthy of being the imam, leading the other people? Yes? Who is worthy of being the imam? The person who is worthy of leading all of the other Anbiya, and of generally speaking, is the person who is most capable. He will be put forward. Whoever's the scholar, the person of knowledge. And if everyone's a scholar, then the person who's the muttaqi, who is faithful of Allah. And if everyone's an alim, and everyone's a muttaqi, then the person who has the increased age or higher age, who is older. And if everyone's in the same position, a scholar and a muttaqi, faithful of Allah, and also is the same age, then they put forth the person who is more beautiful and handsome. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these qualities. All of the other Anbiya who came, they were all beautiful. They had all the qualities. And who was amongst them? Who was to be the muqtadin? Who was to be the imam? Look, if you look at husn and beauty, Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran about his beauty and how he was handsome. But even then, forgetting all of them, putting all of them aside, who had the status, the glory? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made the Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of the Prophets. And he was given the status of the Imamat. And he was the leader of all the Anbiya at that time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went from Makkah on the Buraq. He went to Baytul Maqdis. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led all of the Anbiya as the Imam. Then Buraq went to the first heaven. Allahu Akbar. But he couldn't keep up with the pace, like a ladder was dropped from the first heaven. And then they got to the first heaven. Then they went to the second heaven, the Buraq with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, second heaven. And they had to go to the seventh heaven. But to the seventh heaven, that ladder, the speed of that ladder, it failed. It needed a faster speed. faster. So the angels that were there, special select angels, then the Prophet was sat onto their wings and then he traveled. When the seventh heaven finished, then their speed also diminished, the angels and their wing. They couldn't travel as fast as they had to. So after that heaven, what came? Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he spread his wings and put the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his wings. And then his speed was the fastest. All of the transportation before that, Buraq and the angels, then when they finished, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, then when he reached to Sidratul Muntaha, he said, "Oh, I can't keep up with the pace now, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I won't be able to keep up after Sidratul Muntaha." Then it is written in the commentaries that a certain platform came, like a seat, specially selected. It was a takht, like a takht, made of special material, and was very fast, rough. And Rasulullah was sat on that transportation, on that seat. And where did that take the Prophet of Allah? To the extreme heights where they had to reach, and where Rasulullah then, that was also a place, a stop, it is stated in the narration. Then from there, the Holy Prophet was given that power spiritually, the amount he needed, the capacity, the strength and the power, everything before that, the speed, many times more than that. The Prophet of Allah attained that speed and capacity and power in his feet, to use his feet to get, when he would step forth one step, then so many times over than the speed of what he was transported on before that, he was given the ability to go faster with his footsteps. It is written in the narrations that the Nalain Sharif, Rasulullah's footwear, the ulama, the scholars have written that the Prophet with respect took his shoes off because he was going to meet Allah. He took his slippers and his shoes off. He didn't go forth with his slippers, with his shoes. He went barefoot. And then the situation was that when Rasulullah reached there and he spoke to and discussed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the scholars have written in the commentaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 70,000 times over the veils lifted. 70,000 hakayat were given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 70,000 hakayat and veils Allah ta'ala lifted to bring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam closer. And all the veils were lifted. The barriers were lifted. You can say the curtains were lifted. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu asked the question that, please tell me one of the sentences that within that discussion. Tell me what discussion must have took place between Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Valuable words, statements, discussion. And Abu Bakr Siddiq said, "Oh Aisha, find out and ask one of those sentences, statements." And that has reached to us today. How great and valuable, precious words these must be, that will be direct the path for us, the benefit for us, if we learn these words today, this sentence. So brothers, this sentence has reached to us, this part, portion of the discussion between Allah and His Rasul, and I request you and myself that this is so precious words between Allah and His Rasul. Alhamdulillah, we should promise ourselves. Let's promise and uphold this promise that inshallah, these words, the discussion between Allah and His Rasul that has reached us today, we will practice upon this. Say inshallah. Inshallah, we will practice on this. So, Rasulullah ﷺ smiled when Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa mentioned this, that my father said that when you went to Allah and the 70,000 veils were lifted and after that you had a discussion, please tell us a portion of that discussion. Aha. Subhanallah, 70,000 hakayat, 70,000 siraj muz, 70,000 ahkamat that were given to the Prophet ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ smiled. And the ulama, the scholars have written that there were certain reasons for this smiling. And one of the reasons for smiling, because these were the people of the heart, the people close to Allah, and they extract the points from these events. They said the first point is this, that maybe the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled when Hazrat Aisha asked this and made this word. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that maybe one of the reasons for the smiling was that I knew that Abu Bakr Siddiq was going to ask this question, and the reason for the smile was to show, to prove that only Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, I knew that only he could ask this question. Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I promised you something, and you asked me for something, and I will give it to you. I promise, so I will fulfill that promise. So the point here was that Allah Ta'ala asked me, or said to me, "Oh my Mahbub, my beloved, Allahu Akbar." Imagine, brothers, that from your ummah, if a person, if a believer, if he to another person, If somebody has a broken heart and he heals that broken heart, then it's lazim upon me, Allah says, that without accountancy I will send him into paradise. Without accountancy. Say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radhiyallahu was so happy on this, hearing this. She was so happy and lazim. Fard compulsory. This is our aqeedah. The ulama ikram, the scholars know that there's nothing lazim on Allah. There's nothing that can entrap Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can do what He wants and He doesn't have to do what He doesn't want to do. Apart from if Allah says Himself that is lazim on me. So this is such a great statement that Allah ta'ala Himself, the Lord of the universe, is saying that is lazim for me, that without accounting that person will go into Jannah. What an ibadah. What a worship. Imagine. What a practice. How easy practice Allah has given to the ummah. So easy practice. And look at the result of this ibadah in society, in the ummah of the Muslims, and what maqam a person. We know we pray salah, we know how important is salah, we know we are practicing salah, but let's go to this side now, this angle, this ibadat, this worship, what a link it has with humanity, with society, with love amongst each other, and with the connection between human beings, with the links and connectivity between people. If once such a reward Allah has given for this, that without accounting for the deeds, no hisab, bila hisab, Allah will enter that person into paradise. And Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radhiyallahu anha was so happy at that time. So happy. She ran. She said, please permit me. Can I go back to my father? Let me tell my father. How happy he will be here to hear this. How happy he will be to hear this. And Rasulullah said, yeah, go. You have permission. She ran. She went fast. Abba Jan, my father, I've realized, I've heard. I know that secret you asked me to ask. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq sat up. And he asked and she came back with the news. Such a beautiful statement, beneficial. How easy paradise has become for us. How easy it's become for us. Allahu Akbar. Baba Jan, Abba, my father, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Allah ta'ala said to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Miraj, that from your ummah, if one of your believers goes and heals the heart, the pain, the broken heart of a believer, then it's lazim on me that I will enter him, allow him to enter paradise without reckoning. Without reckoning. What a great piece of news. Subhanallah. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa said this, radiyallahu anha, and he started to shriek out, Abu Bakr Sadiq. He started to cry. He started to scream. He said, Aisha, she was amazed. A daughter. She said, My father, this is such a great piece of news, such a beautiful secret Allah Ta'ala has disclosed to us via the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You should be so happy. Why are you crying? Why are you sobbing? And Abu Bakr Sadiq said, my daughter, you have just told me you have seen one part of the picture. I have seen the other part of the picture at the same time. I can see it. That such a reward Allah Ta'ala is giving for this deed, that if you heal the broken heart, a heart that is broken, without hisab, Allah will enter the person into paradise. So if somebody breaks the heart, what of that person? If you break someone's heart, what about that action? Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. That if such a reward is there for healing the broken heart, for mending the broken relationships, for healing someone's pain in the heart, then what about somebody who breaks the heart of someone? What hellfire will be waiting for that person who breaks the heart of someone? Brothers, this is Deenul Islam. This is Islam. This is the platform, the foundation, the pivot of Islam is love, aman, peace, satisfaction, contentment, sakina. Let's look out now. What is our hal? What is our condition? What ibadah am I doing that guarantees me success? Do I want success? What ibadah do I? This is ibadah, what I've just mentioned. That a person has got problems. And you are busy. Doesn't matter, you're busy. You leave your busyness and you go and give time to that person who's got problems. That maybe I can heal his broken heart. Do we try this? Do I try this? Anyone, someone's poor, poverty, he's got issues, problems, difficulties, and if you make the intention, I'll go and speak to him today, maybe I can help him or her. Just with this intention, that maybe I've got no greed, I don't want anything back from him, maybe his heart will be happy, at least that I've tried to help him. Someone's crying, and there's no one to wipe his tears or her tears, no one to care for him or her. And times, days pass, people die, murdered, people are desperate. And you say, no, I'm not going to go and ask them, are they okay? Because I'll be trapped in the murder investigation. Police will come after me then, and I'll get trapped in the inquiry. Oh, if he dies, he's hungry, thirsty, fine, I'm not going. I'm not getting involved. And what are we? Muslims. What is our deen? Islam. Subhanallah. Deenu Islam. Deenul Islam. We don't care for the other person. Islam's fragrance, smell, style is love upon love upon love. Islam, the definition of Islam, the practice of Islam, the maqsad of Islam, the objective of Islam is love. Spread love. Mend the broken hearts. The practice, the methodology, the status, the glory of Islam. Listen to this hadith. Beautiful, unique point. The Prophet ﷺ said, listen, if you are cooking the meat, then try when you're cooking the meat, that from your meat, the fragrance does not go out to the neighbor. Maybe your neighbor, he feels his heart in his heart to eat meat, but he doesn't have the means to cook meat, to buy meat. And maybe due to you cooking the meat, you are breaking his heart. Aha. So great a statement. That maybe due to the smell of the food you're making, don't let him whiff that smell. Don't do it. Rather, put some water into that meat so the gravy is made, so that you can increase the amount you're cooking and distribute it to the neighbors. If you don't want to share it, then hide the smell so that the smell doesn't reach to their home, so that his children, they don't start crying that, ah, we don't have the same food. And we can't eat it. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting. Sahaba Ikram was sitting around him. And a person came. And he said, oh Prophet ﷺ, oh Prophet, my son has got lost. I'm looking for him for so many days. I can't find my son. I can't find my son. I can't find him. What shall I do? For the sake of Allah, please do dua. Do dua. I can't find my son. The Holy Prophet ﷺ raised his hands. And another person came running. He said, I've heard his words, O Prophet of Allah. Is he talking about a child that's got lost? And he said, yes, a child has got lost. He said, what's happened? He said, I just saw that child. He's there on the pavement. He's in that place. He's in that open plain. He's playing with the other kids. And he, are you speaking about that child? Allahu Akbar. Imagine the father whose son gets lost. And when he gets the news, can you imagine how his heart feels at that time? How happy he must have been. When he heard the place where his son was, he forgot everything, his own life. He ran. And Rasulullah said, call him back quickly, the father. Call him back quickly. And he said that I have awareness of your love. You asked me to do dua. And the mother, she's shrieking and she's crying. She's beating her chest and the sisters are crying. So many days we haven't seen our brother. The mother hasn't seen her son. And you recognize and you ran in all the alleyways. I realize in your heart, O Father, how much love is there in your heart for your son. I know. Let me tell you something. Listen carefully. That when you go to your son, you found him. Don't say to him, son, call him from his name. Allahu Akbar. Look at Islam. Look at the rights. Don't say beta. Don't say son. Call him from his name. Because you are lost from him. You are detached from him. You are desperate for him. So much love and jazba and passion. You will say son. With the love, your love will be coming out. Maybe. There will be an orphan from those children as well who's next to your son. And when that orphan sees your love and you'll say, my son. When that orphan who's not your son, and you say, my son, and you're embracing him, you're calling your son. Maybe that orphan's heart will be broken. That if only I had a father today and he was embracing me. Subhanallah. Oh, what ta'neem, what education there is in Islam, my brothers. This is asal Islam, our deen. So great state, great deen of Islam, what great education we've been given. If we understood this, that any person, Muslim, whoever it is, if you cannot heal the heart, then at least don't break that heart. Don't break the person's heart due to our words, due to our actions, due to the way we look at that person, due to our desperateness. Islam teaches us, don't break someone's heart. A widow. Don't give love to your wife in front of the widow. Don't give affection to your wife in front of the widow, because she will feel in her heart, oh, where's my husband? Never in front of a poor person show your wealth, your money, or present something, because his heart will break, the poor person. This is Islam, my brothers. This is justice. This is the style of Islam. So my brothers, the foundation of Islam is hinging on love. Let's look at our situation today, our condition today. The reason is this, that We have not understood the real Islam. We've left it. We've taken fake Islam. We've got a fake sketch in front of us. We've got our own ideologies and mindset and opinions. We think we're Jannati. We think we're going to stroll into paradise. No. But what Allah loves is the deen. And what Allah Ta'ala gave to His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is the great deen. And the foundation of deen was love, meeting each other, loving each other, affection for each other, and helping each other. And on this we will be given salvation and forgiveness. And I will request again to you, brothers, that how has everything become spoiled today in our ummah? Why is everything being spoiled? Why are we not like this today? Why don't we like these words? Why don't we practice on these great hadith? Why don't we have affection for other people? Why is it when we see another person crying, why don't I start to cry? When I see someone poor life, poverty, why don't I have affection and a broken heart? When we go to our countries today, on the day of Eid, and children have beautiful new clothes, and people are looking smart, in that same country, in the same town, locality, little children, they're selling with torn clothes, they're selling vegetables, and they've got no money, and someone's selling a newspaper on the street corner, and someone's cleaning a car with his dusty hands and clothes. Go and look in our countries. We've seen in Pakistan this happens, and you're driving the car, and there's a child with torn, dirty clothes, and he's asking for money. And please, we've worked for you, give us money. How sad, what is the reason? We don't even feel in our hearts for them. Who is this child? Is he an orphan? Who's his parents? Put your hand on his head. Give him comfort, love. We don't care what we do. Our children are in the car. They're eating, drinking, and they throw packets on the floor. And those poor children pick those packets up and lick them. Aha, I've not seen people have a vision. Where are you going? I'm going to the masjid. I'm going to do ibadah. I'm going to worship. Oh, I'm buying a ticket for Hajj. I'm going on Umrah. But I've not seen people today. With our monies, we go and give to the poor people. We go and fill the belly of a poverty-stricken person. So much poverty in our lands, we cannot imagine. We cannot even think. And we eat, we throw food into bins. Go to the 5-star hotels, their restaurants. Are we going to stay here forever? Is this our life? Is this our basis? After this life, is there no life to come where Allah will ask us what we had? Is there no decision on hellfire and heaven? In this hall, we're sitting here with legs crossed and hand on the other hand. Are we going to continue like this? And things we've made with our own hands and we think that we are glorious? Are we going to present it to Allah? I swear by Allah, so big questions will be asked of us on the Day of Judgment. Big, big questions, brothers. I have to ask myself, what am I? Have I practiced the right deen? Let me grab the true deen. Emulate Rasulullah. Follow his sunnah. Understand what his sunnah is. Love and affection for others. Every single iota, atom of the sunnah. Rasulullah's sunnah is without any doubt. The whole Quran teaches us this. The whole Quran teaches this. A little point may be. I swear by Allah, my heart starts to cry when I think of these words. That how is our deen so great and how we depend on each other. What is the reason we are in this situation today? Why don't we understand there's a child, torn clothes. Why don't have pity on that child? He's poor, he has no food, he's got old clothes. A woman, a widow, she's walking down the street. Why don't I have affection for that lady? There must be a reason for her in this state. When a person gets ill or has an issue, there's a reason for this. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمْ Allah says that when your hearts get spoilt, then Allah says the black dot. This is hadith, sahih hadith of the Prophet. When a person sins, don't think you can just dust your clothes down. When you do one sin, Rasulullah said, when you disobey Allah, one disobedience, you can think, oh, it's nothing, it's not important. It becomes a black dot on the heart, sahih Bukhari. And it goes kadak on the heart, black dot. Rasulullah has told us this. It's a fact. You do another sin, another black dot pierces the heart. To that point, the heart becomes black like a piece of coal. Black like a piece of coal. All his capacity to do good is finished. The same heart which has the capacity to absorb the mercy of Allah. Because Allah says, where can I be? Where can my mercy be? It can be absorbed only in the heart of the mu'min. But due to his sins, summun bukmun umyun. Allah says his heart becomes black like the coal, solid like a rock, like a padlock is sealed. And this is a Muslim, an ummati of Rasulullah, and his heart has no affection, his heart has no mercy, his heart has no love for other people. He just worries about himself and his own blood brother. Oh, where's it gone? A Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. Where is this? I swear by Allah, another Muslim should be more beloved to you than your true blood brother. Then more than your true blood brother, more than the Sahaba Ikram used to love each other, more than the blood relations, than the blood brother. And the history bears witness, history testifies, the whole world in history cannot show this example. that people are dying. The Sahabi is there, he has water. The other Sahabi is dying, he says, give to him, give to him, give to him. It goes round, the cup comes back to him. But they passed away before that. He ran to the other one. To this point, they all passed away out of thirst and no one drank the water. What is this? This is not fiction. This is not a novel. This is not story time, brothers. Jackanory. This is our deen, our great glorious past. If only we understood. Why are we not like this? We are Muslims. We read the same Quran. We do the same prostration, the same masjids. Rather, we have big masjids today. Rock solid masjids. But our hearts are dirty. Our hearts are spoilt. We've spoiled them. We've trampled on them. We've trodden on our hearts. No noor comes into my heart. You can speak to someone about deen for hours, but his heart is black. Nothing absorbs. He doesn't understand. He doesn't want to hear. He says, go away. Fi qulubihim marada. Allah says, fasadahum. This will continue. The fasad will come. And may not be, Allah says, that this continues and continues. And when you're dying, that you are reciting kufr from your tongue. Kufr. It will be your fault if you did not protect your heart, if you did not wash your heart. Kullu sakina, kullu shayin sakinatan, sakinatan fil qalb bi dhikrillah. This Allah has given guidance that Allah says, for the body I've given water, you can wash, you can never stay dirty. On Jummah you can have a bath, Saturday a bath, Monday a bath. Dirty, dirty action with soil and whatever, you're soiled. Allah says, I've given you water to clean yourself. Same way, your ruh, you do zina, you've stolen, zina with the eyes, wrong things you've done and said. But my servant, think after sinning, that can you wash your sins with water? No, you have to use a certain cleaning agent. Allah says there is a solution to make your heart sparkle, because your nature as a human, you can sin, but use the cleaning agent. What's the cleaning agent? Kullu sakinatan. Allah says kullu shayin sakinatan. And to get the sakina, the comfort in the heart, you can only get it from one action. So Allah says, don't have enmity with your heart. Don't oppose your heart. The heart is the foundation of success, from which all the goodness and the feelings and emotions come. So Allah says, when you say to someone, do dhikr, Allah's dhikr, for the sake of Allah, do dhikr. فَزَادَهُمْ مَرَدَ. Allah Ta'ala says, that don't do it dhikr at that time. The ruh is being extracted by the angels of death. And they say, مَنْ رَبُّكُمْ مَنْ رَسُولُكُمْ مَنْ دِينُكُمْ. You say, which Rasul are you talking about? Which Rabb are you talking about? What deen are you talking about? Because at that time, your heart will be black, because you didn't do amal on cleaning the heart. Think now about the graves, brother. Think about that time that every one of us will depart from this world. Have that fikr now and protect your heart now and clean the heart now. Have that fikr now for the sake of Allah and do, I can't do dhikr, it's too hard for me, it's difficult, I'll try one day. We've raised big boundaries and walls for not doing dhikr. Allah's given an open playing field. Just like Allah's made oceans, Allah's sent rain from the heavens, given us well with water, rivers, streams and fountains and oceans and seas, for us to have water. And Allah says the water will finish. This life will finish. If Allah has given so much water to wash the bodies, but what about the soul that will stay alive forever? You think Allah has not prepared water for our souls? Not prepared cleaning agents? I swear by Allah, all the oceans, all the rains, all the rivers, all the seas, and put the water together, the dhikr of Allah's power is greater than all of that water and cleaning within a second. My brothers, for washing, for having a bath, you need one bucket of water. One bucket of water is enough to become clean. And today you don't even need a bucket. You maybe need two buckets or three buckets to wash the dead by. May I be sacrificed. All your life you can commit the sins, and the sins can fill up with the gap from the earth to the heavens. Allah says there's one droplet of cleaning agent. Say Allah once and I'll cleave you forever. I will clean you forever, all of the sins. Can you compare with the once the name of Allah? Allah says, this name of mine I've given to you. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Allah says, recite my name in isolation, in hiding, on your own, in gathering. Because when you recite my name, I will purify you. I will wash you and wipe away your sins in a second. So my brothers, let's look inside ourselves. Let's reflect. Look at me. What am I? This passion of Islam and affection and regard for others will not come inside me until I bring myself onto the right platform. I should cry for others. I should feel for others. I should serve others. I should help others. I should sacrifice my time for others. I feel sleepy and I see someone sick. He hasn't got a car. He hasn't got a car. Then the beautiful thing is all night long you wake up, you go to that person all night long and you help him. Your heart should feel that you help him, not that you're tossing and turning in your bed. He's hungry, go during the night. How can I feed you, brother? How can I assist you, brother? Alhamdulillah, this is the greatest worship for which Allah has promised. It's compulsory on me that without reckoning I will send that person into paradise. People have the line, there'll be lines of people who prayed salah and Allah will say, this worship was due to pride and showing off and you did this to show other people, subhanallah. But that person who served Allah's creation, loved them, assisted them, the khalq of Allah, without reckoning, he will go into paradise. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Do you like that worship or all the other worships? Which one do you want? Without accounting, you want to go into paradise? Put your hands up if you want that. Put your hands up. From your heart you're saying that? Then put your hands up and say from your heart that from now we will do dhikr of Allah all the time so we can build the affection for others. That's why we're sitting here. I'm not here as a storyteller or to show you jokes or I'm a peer or I'm a wali of Allah or I'm showing you miracles or I'm trying to show you my knowledge. Wallah, Allah is a witness that my shaykh who gave me the order to come here, he was worried about him, his destiny and what was going to happen, and wallah, there's nothing else apart from the love of Allah and his Rasul that I'm saying this. I am totally not capable, useless, but the sunnah has made me sparkle and give me awareness that don't live for yourself, live for other people. Live for other people. Those people who stay alive for other people. My Shaykh stated, those people never die, they will stay alive after their death. Wallahi, you don't understand what is their lives. Allah says, بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَتَشْعُرُونَ. And we are sitting, eating, drinking, sleeping, eating, drinking, sleeping. Is this life? Is this what we're here for? Live a life that when you pass away, people remember you after you die, that this was a great man. He helped us. Life is so precious. Look back, how many years have passed? Look back. 40, 50, 60, 70 years have passed. How many years are left? 10, 5, 6, 3, 2. But still we should have that plan. Oh, when I was 12, the same plan, the same program. I want to make this money. I want to buy a shop. Then get a big house. Make rotis. And make my children this and give them this. Aha. The qabr will not be filled with this. My brothers, think about akhirah, akhirah. Everything is akhirah. Make your heart. Clean your heart, illuminate your heart, and then follow and implement the path that Allah Ta'ala has given. Do dhikr morning and evening. Make yourself clean. Consider yourself dirty at the moment. To that extent, that until the love and affection doesn't come in your heart, not just for Muslims, for every human being in the world, you should have affection. First, help someone. When you help someone, don't see he's a Muslim. Look, he's a human being. Our deen says, teach, have affection for animals. Have love for animals. Even a cat, if you don't give it food on time, you have to answer to Allah on the Day of Judgment. You reared that cat, why didn't you give it milk on time? He's also makhluk of Allah. So if there's human beings around us, oh, he's not a Muslim, he's a disbeliever. No, Islam doesn't give permission for this. Every human being, everywhere, have the same basis of love than you have for the Muslim. It's the creation of Allah. Allah's makhluk, Allah doesn't like oppression. Allah doesn't like dhulam, that a human being does dhulam on another human being. Allah doesn't permit this. There's no permission. Who says Islam teaches this? Impossible. Impossible. If only in our hearts today, the Muslim, the believer, had total and utter love for the makhluk creation. If we were like this today, that we are thinking about others, caring for others, affection for others. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.